views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 1-800-930-2819 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show app at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now here's Dr. Love.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and it's my pleasure to be with you today. So today, I want to ask you a question. Do you know how to be happy? Are you happy? Do you know that it's within your power to overcome depression and anxiety? Well, if you didn't know, stick with me, because I want to introduce you to Alex George. He's a number one best-selling author, speaker, and multidisciplinary psychologist focusing on mental health, success, happiness, and entrepreneurship. Known as a leading expert in success and happiness strategies, he is the founder of FulfillingHappiness.com and author of Maximum Mental Health, Happiness Up, Stress Down, Destiny-Defining Decisions, The 7 Mental Viruses Crushing Your Potential. I like that. And the 4 Success Secret Series. Say that three times fast. Success Secret Series. Books exploring motivation, stress management, positive thinking, and life success, as well as the Fulfilling Happiness Program. And he has a book now, Maximum Mental Health. That's his most recent push. So we'll talk all about that. Are you with me, George? Alex George, Mr. George. You know, it's funny because I made the mistake. I called you Dr. George, Alex George, and you refer to yourself as a psychologist. And it's interesting because in the United States, we're not allowed to call ourselves psychologists unless we have a PhD in psychology. But in your country, you're allowed to say psychologist with a master's. It's a difference, right?
Yes, in the UK and in Australia, and I think Canada, you can be a clinical psychologist with a master's degree and additional training. You just don't have to do the full doctorate via university.
Hey.
You do enough at the master's level, which is enough as far as I'm concerned.
It's more than enough. Give me a break from all those book classes and education and everything else. So what got you into seeking happiness? Because a lot of times what we go after is what we're struggling with ourselves. Or were you not happy for a while?
I think it's more a fascination with people and more a desire to understand what makes life really vibrant, what lets us thrive. I mean, I always felt that through all my clinical studies, I was like, we're only taking care of half the equation. Like, I mean, obviously when someone's depressed and anxious, you want to help them. There's a human need and a desire to do that, and that's a beautiful thing to do. But what about once you get to that place where you're functioning well again? Well, then what? So I always felt, I want to be someone that's happy, that's thriving, that's excited, that can excel in all the different parts of my life and really squeeze the juice out of life. So that's really kind of how I got into it. And then in my final year of training, we actually started studying positive psychology as a module, which was part of that whole idea of happiness and thriving. And that's kind of what led me to that sort of domain that I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's interesting because a life coach said to me recently, I think the difference between a psychologist and a life coach is a psychologist asks why and a life coach asks why not. So it sounds like, if we agree with that paradigm, you are asking not why not, but more like here's how.
Here's how
you can be happy. And we don't care. Do you go into studying what the thoughts are, the mental bad habits, the mental viruses are that make people become unhappy and anxious? Do you do that? So in that way, it's the what are you doing that's not working, or you just cut right to the chase and talk about what does work?
Yeah, it depends on the client and on the context. So I am a clinical psychologist. So if someone comes to me and is clearly very, very depressed and thinking very negatively and so forth, I'm going to go down that path first. If someone else comes to me and it's more like, I feel like I'm doing okay, I just really want to be better, I really want to do more, then I'm going to go down more the path of, okay, let's get straight into it. What are those strategies to get you to that next level? So everything is on a continuum. So, you know, on the one end of the scale, we have very deep depression. On the other end of the scale, we have extreme happiness. And it's just figuring out where that person on that scale is at that time, and then how do we move them up that scale. And so the traditional psychology will kind of get you back up towards that normal kind of end of the scale. And then it's more the new positive psychology stuff that gets you beyond that sort of normal part and towards that thriving.
Yeah, instead of just, you know, they talk about pre-morbid functioning. Most people think in terms of, well, we're just going to take you back to where you were before. Now, if it wasn't that great, well, too bad. We're just going to get you back to where you were before you kind of slipped and fell off the horse. You know, it's interesting. Today I had a patient in my office who is coming off 8 different psychotropic drugs. And we're going to get to that because I know that that's part of the dirty multi-billion dollar secret that you talk about. Because I am not a proponent of drugs and that whole Western approach to masking things rather than getting to the bottom of them. So she's coming off 8 drugs and she had a little bump in the road and she started to feel very, very sad and depressed and anxious. And I noticed that now that her chemistry is a little bit imbalanced as she's coming off the meds, some of her previously hidden bad mental habits, you know, bad habits, are coming up. And she came into the session today, and it's a beautiful day. The sun is shining. I have a bouquet of fresh lilacs. The room smells like lilacs. And she lies down. She puts herself down on my couch, and she huffs. And she's so heavy and burdened, and she says to me, well, how long am I going to have to keep coming to therapy? You know, I want to be able to do this myself. And here, instead of being in the moment, you know, and just enjoying the fact that we're together and she always feels great when we're together and we have a lot of good fun, she instead is focusing on the future and, well, how long do I have to do this? And as we talked, it became clear that this woman does a kind of thing, I call it the status quo resistance. You know, we humans like to stick with familiar states, familiar feelings. She was miserable and burdened as a kid, so she's so used to feeling that way that she finds a way of finding heaviness and burden in every moment. And it's a really bad habit. Instead of just saying, I enjoy your company, I enjoy being with you, it's a great moment. No, well, now I'm going to go into the future and say, how long do I have to do this? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a trained response, and it is something we have to untrain and unlearn. And yeah, the medication can often mask symptoms that need to be addressed in a more one-on-one sort of in a real sense, as opposed to just overcoming the symptom.
So talk about that dirty multi-billion dollar secret that the pharmaceutical companies don't want everybody to know.
Well, the first thing that most people don't really understand is that apart from the United States, I think the only other country in the world that allows direct-to-consumer advertising of antidepressants is New Zealand.
I know.
So any depression medication is nowhere near as effective as what that people would like you to believe, and that's the big secret. So a large-scale analysis of trials have shown that antidepressants have been only about 10% more effective than sugar tablets in their trials. And about 50% of antidepressant users are receiving no benefit. So it's ridiculous to think that they're advertising a particular brand and that they're so effective when, I mean, they can help in some instances, but they're nowhere near as effective as they think they are. Not one brand is no more effective than the other brand. So that's important as well because, for example, a newer drug like Cymbalta, which is about $300 a month, there's a more generic version of a different antidepressant, like a version of Prozac that's generic, and that's $30 a month. So not only is it, it doesn't always work very well for most people, but there's this massive gap. I mean, that's 10 times more expensive one brand over the other. And of course, they're advertising that particular brand. They're saying, you know, get this brand. This is the brand. This is the one that's going to make all the difference. And the side effects are downplayed. I mean, people can get massive weight gain, nausea, sexual dysfunction. A lot of the long-term effects aren't really seriously studied. So all these things are never really spoken about. And there's one more thing that I found very fascinating, which is At one stage in the past, Prozac was marketed to Americans as a straightforward life enhancer, which is just totally wrong and totally unethical. No antidepressant in the world is going to make someone feel better who's not actually depressed.
It's crazy.
This is kind of the push.
It's crazy. And, you know, I have a patient whose daughter just got her period, and she's at the gynecologist with her daughter, and the gynecologist is trying to push antidepressants because they say, oh, we like to get the girls on it young so that they don't have PMS and all the rest of it. So we're now using this as quote-unquote preventive medicine. What a scandal.
That is crazy. I've not heard of that one specifically
before. And, you know, when you realize that the doctors are given kickbacks and perks and trips for prescribing these medications, you know, the drug reps actually court them and woo them and romance them and give them cruises and trips and free gifts for pushing the drugs on people. They're like legalized drug pushers, you know. It's horrid. And, you know, the thing is, too, people don't really connect up with the link between toxicity and depression and anxiety. When your organs start getting clogged up, your liver, your kidneys, your bowel, and you start feeling toxic, very often the body will make you feel depressed and anxious. And then when you take drugs that add to your toxic load, you get more depressed. So then the doctors say, well, we're going to need to add another drug. And now you're adding to your toxicity level. This patient I was saying who's coming off her meds, with each drug that comes off of her, she's feeling better.
Yeah. And I think part of it was that there's so many of them just bouncing around in there. So, you know, I'm not going to say that medication doesn't have a place. It does have a place in very serious cases and under the right supervision. I mean, that's important to understand for people, but often it's just really overprescribed. As you mentioned, there's a lot of this sort of drug pushing, legal drug pushing. And it's just, I read a study recently, you know, the average family doctor in America spends about 7 minutes with a patient. What can you ascertain about their mental state in 7 minutes? I don't know, because I've been doing this for a lot of years and I need more than 7 minutes.
Baby, everybody needs more than 7 minutes, but that's Dr. Love talking now.
That'll help the mental state a lot.
Absolutely. So what should you ask your doctor if your doctor says, oh, you should go on this antidepressant? What do you say to people?
The first thing is, don't just take the doctor's word for it. The first thing you got to do is you got to ask them, what is the actual diagnosis and how did they come to it? What are the symptoms that they've noticed? They should have given you some sort of paper and pencil test, some sort of mental state test, and they should have marked it. And through that, they should have said basically what needs to happen, what category of mental state you're in. And through those categories, then you can decide, you know, are you in the serious range or extremely serious range? And then based on that, you can look at your options.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's very interesting because it was 35 years ago, I was on staff at an inpatient psychiatric hospital. And there was a man who would come in 4 times a year for electroconvulsive therapy, ECT, shock therapy, because the meds did not work for him. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to take a break. And when I come back in a moment, I'm going to tell you what happened with this guy. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Preceding audio was via a Skype call.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true, so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Stay
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf. It's my pleasure to be coming back. And so we're talking with Alex George, best-selling author, multidisciplinary psychologist, about the best strategies for being happy and overcoming depression and anxiety. Before the break, Alex, I was telling you about this man who was hospitalized four times a year. Mm-hmm. And nothing helped him. No drugs, no talking therapy. He had to get shock therapy, and that would only hold him for, you know, one season, and then he'd be back again. So this was in the very, very early 80s. I'll never forget. It was 1981, and I was always on the cutting edge with alternative therapies, and I had begun reading about the way wheat can affect the brain. It could actually cause a brain allergy, which would give mood disturbances. So I just asked him to humor me. It was long before the don't eat gluten. Nobody ever thought about it. I just said, do me a favor. Just cut wheat out of your diet. Let's see how you feel. Within a week, the guy's depression lifted. I never saw him again. He never came back for shock therapy. Done. So I always say to patients, and I bet you would agree because you're so open-minded, explore all avenues. You may be one of the people for whom wheat, gluten, grains, GMO organism, you know, genetically modified grains. Maybe you're one of the people, one of the millions, whose mood is affected by these things. I have 10 patients now who are in that category. They eat grain, they get depressed, and they get anxious. So before masking a symptom and taking a drug, you always want to get down to the root, to the core, and see what's going on and see if you can make modifications that are less toxic. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the sections in my book, Maximum Mental Health, is all about nutrition because it is so important. And I think a lot of people have been neglecting that. They're neglecting the fact that we're physical creatures and we're nutritional creatures as well as psychological creatures. And so I think absolutely exploring all nutritional options is a very important factor in terms of our mental health.
That is very, very right. And you can't separate the mind from the body. The physical chemistry affects your emotional chemistry. It's all one thing, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think that's like the fastest way to get out of a depressed state and get motivated. I always say it's move, 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 because the more you move, the better you feel. The better you feel, the more you move. You think of a depressed person and you notice that their head is down, their eyes are down, their shoulders are slumped, their breathing is shallow. And a motivated person has the exact opposite physiology. You know, the head is up, breathing is full. So movement is this great antidote to depression, and it also increases motivation. It's kind of a secret trick that I call, you know, the act now principle. You know, the biggest trick to motivation is understanding that motivation will come during and after the behavior, not necessarily before it. So we get moving and we start moving. We add that physicalness to our physiology, and we start to move, and we can just move forward and forward and forward. And it's a really important part of our mental health, because over 50% of people are overweight at the moment. So it's a very neglected thing that people don't understand, that affects everything, the body, the nutrition, it affects the psychology, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. And right now I'm seeing it so many times over. Sugar, grain, these things really have immediate effects on the mood. I have a teenager that I'm working with, and she went and ate some ice cream, and she became like a maniac very soon after eating it. Very angry, very anxious, very depressed. And prior to that, her mood was stable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so yeah, it is something that we've got to investigate quite thoroughly. And once again, when the doctor is giving you 7 minutes, sometimes you've got to do a bit more for yourself.
Right. So now, what about you? You say that you have a way of stopping a panic attack, stopping an anxiety attack. So what's your trick for that?
Yeah, I think there's three classic methods, and all of them can work. So I like to combine all three of them, to be honest. The first, most simplest traditional method is diaphragmatic breathing, which in other words is you breathe deeply from your stomach, more so through your stomach, less so through your chest. You breathe on a deep 3-second cycle. That's going to calm you. The second method is a distraction technique. One option is you just kind of count backwards from 300 in threes. So it kind of gets your mind working pretty, it gets working a little bit. It's a slightly challenging problem to solve, but not too challenging. It's a nice little distraction. The third thing, which I think is most important, is the skill of mindful acceptance. So rather than trying to make the anxiety go away, which mm-hmm. tends to cause more panic, because mm-hmm. now you start panicking about being panicked and you start worrying about worry.
Mm-hmm.
Your aim is rather to accept that your body is going to do whatever it's going to do in that period of time, and you're going to remain accepting of it. You accept the racing heart. You accept the mm-hmm. butterflies in the stomach.
Mm-hmm.
You accept the catastrophic thinking, you know, and you cannot actually die from panic, which is important for people to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And so you realize that it's going to pass when it's ready, through that sort of mindful acceptance. So they're the three things I like to generally combine, all three. And that's something I also add to the Maximum Mental Health book. I actually give away mindfulness training, so people, like recordings and stuff, so people can really develop that skill.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had a patient come in. He was so freaked out about his panic attacks. And it's exactly as you say, that I can't believe that I would make the analogy with impotence. But it's the same kind of mechanism. When a guy finds that he can't keep an erection or obtain an erection, very often he'll start to worry. And the worry chemicals obviously are incompatible with the chemicals needed to obtain and sustain an erection. So some guys can actually become impotent from one incident where their penises don't stand at attention. From that point on, the next time that they go to have a sexual encounter, they start worrying, and the worry makes it a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they can't get an erection. So the fear produces the very outcome you are dreading. Same kind of mechanism with panic. I'm so worried, I'm so scared, and all of that heightens the stress chemicals and makes it worse. So this guy came in, and I just told him, accept it, as you said. You will not die from it. It will not kill you. It feels like crap, but you will not die. And he, for the first time in his life, he'd been plagued his whole life. He just went with it, just let the wave wash over him. And he stopped having panic attacks. And that's not uncommon. I'm sure you see that too.
Yeah, I mean, it's the mindfulness idea is so important in pretty much all sort of aspects of life. This idea of being accepting and not trying to change what cannot be changed. And you know, that's why I give away those recordings. That's why I'm such a big proponent of it, And I often talk about that, you know, this is the kind of classic thing in life, you know, that classic phrase, you know, give me the strength to change what I can change and the strength to accept what I can't change. You know, it's that kind of classic phrase, and obviously I'm paraphrasing it slightly, that people need to understand, and that's what mindfulness does, and that's why I'm such a big proponent of it, because, yeah, I mean, in psychology they call it meta-worry, worrying about worry. And
yeah.
It's this awful cycle, this downward spiral that people get trapped in because they're like, oh, no, I'm worried. And now I'm worried about being worried. And now it's not going to go away. Now I'm worried
about
that.
Exactly. And, you know, I actually like to make the analogy of what people do about their poor penises, because then you start laughing about it. You know, when you see yourself getting a panic attack and you think, oh, I'm worrying about my penis. And especially if you're a woman, now you're really cracking up about it. And when you're laughing and you're in the moment having fun, you're not putting out the chemicals that further fuel the panic, you know?
Absolutely. I think that's an interesting image to keep in mind.
Yeah,
for people
really,
who
now
want
all
to
your
do
face
that.
About your penis now. So now you also like to talk about whether a pessimist can become an optimist. Is that possible?
Yeah. It is possible. It's very possible, and it's highly encouraged. I think the key is to understand the thinking style of the person. The simplest way to think about it is to keep practicing on focusing on what you do want as opposed to what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I ask people often, would you rather be less stressed or more relaxed? Right? Or would you rather be less anxious or more confident? Or a big one is, would you rather be less fat or more trim? Now, these kind of sound like trick questions in a way, because if you're a computer, it's kind of the same thing. If you're less fat, you're more trim. You're more trim, you're less fat. But the thing is, they're not, because if your idea is to become less fat, for example, and you achieve that goal, there's a problem. You're still fat. You see, that your identity hasn't changed. You're still seeing yourself as fat. You're just less of it. Right? So it's a very pessimistic attitude. On the flip side, if your goal is to become more trim, whether you currently see yourself as trim or not, you're moving towards a greater sense of trimness. So that's kind of the idea of understanding the words you're actually using and the power behind those words.
Would you rather be less?
So that's kind of the key to that. And I use the word trim in that example and not skinny, because can you be too skinny?
Hell no. That's what women think.
Right.
And that is not true. And, you know, it's interesting. This same principle applies to relationships, because so often, you know, as part of the female gender role, women will often complain about what's not working, what they don't like, instead of saying, well, this is what I would like. This is what would make me feel happy, which then is a very positive, proactive way of approaching your partner and your relationship. And then you're also giving a roadmap to your partner. If you do this, I will feel happy. This will make me feel loved. As opposed to, well, you don't do that and you never do this. And that's the pessimistic approach, the negative complaining approach brought into your relationship, which is the kiss of death for relationships.
Yeah, and I know you talk a lot about relationships, and I love that. I talk about relationships in my book as well, because I go through like 20 principles. I go through just about everything I could think of, and obviously I had to address relationships. And just in relation to that philosophy I just brought up, I ask this question all the time to couples. Would you rather have less fights or more harmony? Right? And it's a great question, because if your goal is to have more harmony, well, you're naturally going to have less fights. And the other thing is, if your goal is to have less fights and you achieve the goal of less fights, that may not necessarily be a great goal, because there are a lot of couples that don't fight, but they're not really communicating anymore either. So yeah, we've achieved the goal of not fighting, but just not talking to each other. So I think
that's something to be aware of. It's like being a dry drunk. I'm not drinking, but I'm still a drunk, right?
Exactly.
Right. So now another thing you say that is surprising, you have a lot of fresh ideas, and this one is, modern offices, buildings, and houses are making our mental health worse. What do you mean by that?
Well, modern buildings have no windows, no natural air, no natural light, a lack of vegetation and life. So our environments are becoming more artificial. And nature makes us feel good. We can't trick the brain. If you put a picture of nature in your office and that sort of thing, it doesn't compete with a window. So there's no replacement for sunlight and fresh air. So if you're working in such an environment like I do, like doctor surgeries and stuff often have no windows, air conditioning, all that sort of stuff, you've got to get out of the office as often as possible and get that boost from nature that you need.
Cool. All right, let me take a brief break. I'm going to go out and get some sun, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Put a little woo-hoo in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little woohoo in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
What is your why? Is coach training right for you? Maybe you're changing careers. Maybe coaching can help you revitalize an existing career. Mark Rayner and the Rayner Institute can help you manifest your goals. Classes start April 27th and 28th. To learn more, visit RaynerInstitute.com to enroll today. That's RAYNERInstitute.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Pure Encapsulations is committed to producing the most complete line of research-based nutritional supplements, from fish oil to probiotics to multivitamins and more. Available through qualified health professionals and community pharmacists, finished products are pure and hypoallergenic to optimize the long-term health of all patients, even the most sensitive. With Pure Encapsulations, you can rest assured that you're getting the purest and highest quality nutritional supplements available. Ask a qualified healthcare practitioner about Pure Encapsulations today and discover why it's the supplement brand of choice for healthcare professionals worldwide. For more information, please visit www.pureencapsulations.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you've yearned to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com, or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 800-930-2819. To listen live and download the free show app, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com. All shows are archived at TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
I'm talking with best-selling author Alex George about his 5 strategies for overcoming depression, anxiety, and increasing your mood. So before we took a break, we were talking about how you can make your work and your living environment less depressing. And you just talked about getting out and getting in the sun. Now, where you're from in Australia, do you have sun year-round?
Yeah, I'd say we have sun year-round. I mean, I'm from Sydney, and we definitely have sun. I mean, obviously it gets colder and stuff in the winter, but we still have winter sun, which is still pretty warming and good for you. And it's not as harsh as the summer sun. But yeah, we have sun pretty much all year round.
Mm-hmm. Do you have poison ivy over there? Or is that, they call it the just, it's a North American problem. I don't think you have that, do you?
No, we don't have poison ivy. The thing we got to watch out for most is making sure we use our sunscreen in the summer.
Because the sun will just beat down on you.
Yeah,
all
absolutely.
Right. I don't want to beat down on the sun. So now, I want to also talk about this formula you have for transforming a toxic, intimate, or social relationship into an amazing one. So what's that formula?
Yeah, so this is not my formula, but it's something I always talk about. It's something you've probably come across in your work. And it comes from a gentleman called, as a psychologist, Dr. John Gottman. And so what he did was he had this wonderful experiment. We had people in a room, couples, and he kind of tricked them into thinking they were there to do something in particular, but he was just there to watch them interact. And he found with, I think it was 94% accuracy, if a couple would be together or not in 3 years. And so through all his research, he just discovered this basic magic ratio. And the ratio was based on how many positive events to negative events that occurred in that interaction, both verbal and nonverbal. So when I say positive, I'm talking about smiles and affectionate touches and facing each other and compliments and actively listening. And negative being things like looking away, facial expressions of contempt or annoyance, reducing aggressive touching, raised voice, that sort of stuff. And the ratio was 5 to 1. So basically, 5 positive acts cancel out 1 negative act. And if the ratio was less than 5 to 1, then the relationship would inevitably end up in trouble. And so this same principle applies in business. It's a little bit more generous in business. It's 3 to 1 in business, and pretty much in all major areas of life. And so this kind of goes back to this principle that I have, which is about praise. And I think you've got to praise people as often as you can, but you've got to add a special component to that praise. And that is, you've got to be specific. So I have a little formula called GPS, which I talk about in the book and in other things. And GPS stands for being genuine, being present, and making sure your praise is specific. You've got to tell the person what you're actually praising them for. And I think that's a very important formula in terms of enhancing relationships, whether it's business, personal, intimate, the whole gamut.
Absolutely. And then that's what Gottman calls the 5-to-1 rule.
Absolutely.
Actually, Gottman knows my work because they asked me to do an article for the homepage on their website, an article about my conflict resolution method, and that was posted on their site. So I'm very familiar with his work and he with mine. And the 5-to-1 rule is so important. People do not realize the power of this simple rule. But even though we know it, people get into very bad and lazy habits. They will do more maintenance on their cars, you know, daily and weekly and monthly maintenance on their cars than they do on their relationship. You know,
well, you know, in America, you've those cars got to keep the economy going. They've got to be big and full of petrol,
right?
And wasting, and so yeah, I can understand that analogy.
Right. Yes. So, what car do you drive anyway?
we have a different brand here, but it's from General Motors.
It's not an. You don't have the same American cars, but still. You do your oil chains, you do everything. Think about your relationship like a car. If you don't maintain it, it ends up in a ditch. It just does.
Because you've crashed it.
you crashed it in a ditch. And cars and humans need to be told on a daily basis what you like about them, what you love about them, what you appreciate about them. I said this on one big national show, and the host thought it was the most ridiculous thing. He just couldn't get it. You know, why would I spoil my wife? Why would, you know, it's so amazing when you think about it. I married you, or I'm living with you because I love you. Why wouldn't I honor you every day? Every day. And remind you of why I chose you. You know, why I keep choosing you every day.
Exactly.
That's what we're here for, is to love each other, you know, and perfect our ability to love each other. And how are we going, you know, now this goes also to love language, because the 5 positives, if you can tailor those 5 positives to the love language that you know speaks to your partner's heart. So if I had this conversation with a couple, we were talking about the 5-to-1 rule, and her love language was not words. So if 5 times a day he says, I love her, or some fashion or version of that, that's not going to do it for her. You right? So you have to do the positive that speaks to your partner's heart. And very rarely do we have the same love language. So if one of you feels loved by acts of service, then give your partner acts of service. And if the other is moved and feels fed by words of affirmation, then use words of affirmation, you know? This is the platinum rule. Do unto your partner as he or she would have you do unto him. Not the golden rule. You don't just give your partner what you yourself want.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's right. Extremely important. You've got to meet them at their level. You know, what does it for them?
What is it that they want? So, what do you say about turning the tables to emotionally control your boss so you're happy at work?
Here's the key to emotionally controlling anyone, really, and that is you have to beat him or her, to the emotional punch. And what I mean by that is emotions are contagious. And so whoever has the strongest emotion leads the interaction. And it supersedes every other factor, including status. So humans are emotional. The most intense emotion always takes the lead. So for example, if someone's mildly depressed or anxious, and you are feeling very calm and confident, they will start to match your emotion and follow your lead, and therefore start to feel more calm and confident. And unfortunately, the reverse is also true. So the secret is, as soon as you see your boss or anyone that you want to influence, you immediately smile wide, you open your posture, you speak positively, and you keep it up. Even if they were feeling annoyed or upset, they're going to start to follow your positive lead. And over time, they're going to subconsciously expect you to take the lead whenever you're interacting. So it's kind of a shaping mechanism. And I think that's something that a lot of people really don't understand. It's like that this supersedes status. Like, it doesn't matter if they're your boss or whatever. If you are more emotionally vibrant than they are, they will come towards you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Emotions are contagious, right? Right. And so if your boss is in a pissed off mood, if you match his emotion, well, then that's going to be like a brush fire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. And right. So we want to startle them with something much more positive, especially if we see the boss, and as soon as we see them straight away, we're really positive, well before they have their chance to be their negative self, we take the lead.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about workplace bullying? That's certainly going to cramp somebody's style. So what do you say about that to help people be happier at work?
Yeah. So I love teaching people about this. This is referring to bullying where obviously the traditional channels aren't going to work. So you can't report them. They're not going to go to meetings and talk about it. And it's more of a trick mechanism, which is what I call being agreeable without agreeing. So unfortunately, sometimes bullies, it's just not going to work to report them and all that sort of stuff. So I'll give you an example. So basically, if someone is a bully, as I said, the first thing you do is you want to empathize with their intention, and then you want to ask for specific proof of what they're accusing you of, and then you want to solve the problem even if there's no proof of it. So for example, let's say the bully is accusing you of bad mouthing or spreading gossip about someone else. So here's the response. So the E, which is the empathize, you say, well, hurting someone's feelings is definitely not something I normally would do. It's never been my intention. And then A, we ask for the proof. So we say, can you tell me more about the accusation? And then let's say the bully says, I can't, it's confidential, it's just all blah, blah, there's not even any proof there. So then the response would be, well, you're going to solve the problem, even if it's not even a problem. You're going to say, well, I'm not aware of anything that I have said that could be offensive, but regardless, I'll be sure to be even more careful than usual and even more positive than usual to make sure that everyone has a harmonious environment. And so by having this really consistent positive attitude where you don't agree with what they're saying, but you're agreeable to the intent, after a while, they kind of have to stop bullying you a lot of the time because they've got nowhere to go.
So that's great. And what you're talking about, there's a French expression for what you're describing. It's called couper les herbes sous les pieds, cut the grass under their feet.
Right.
He's got no place to stand because you didn't argue, you didn't defend, and you were just so nice. Oh, please tell me. Oh, I didn't intend to, and point it out to me. I never want to do it. It's wonderful. So let's take a brief break. I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Tune in to the Angels and Answers Psychic Radio Show with clairvoyants Artie Hoffman and Sky Siegel every Thursday for a two-hour show, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio. Artie and Sky deliver spiritual and motivational messages with passion and a sense of humor. Call in 800-930-2819 for live and on-air readings. Visit ArtieHoffman.com and SkyOfAngels.com.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit LucidPlanetRadio.com for more information.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift, a free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm talking with Alex George, number one best-selling author, specialist in how to increase your happiness, diminish anxiety and depression. So, Alex, you have a little strategy for how to make new friends without fear of rejection. And yeah. I think you said it's for any age group.
Yeah, see, I think the secret here, and a lot of people just don't realize how simple it is and how important it is just join an interest group. So, for example, there's a great site on the internet called Meetup, pretty much is global. And you just type in where you live, and you see what groups are available. And then you attend whatever it is that you're interested in. And what's great about this is if you have issues with you don't know what to talk about, well, you've just joined an interest group, so talk to people about the thing you're interested in. I mean,
Ain't that the truth? That's why it's there.
So, for example... If you join a photography group, well, ask people about the type of cameras they're using, the type of pictures, their lenses, exposures, and that's what they're interested in too. So there's no way they're going to reject you. How can they reject you when you're asking them about something they're totally interested in? And so it's this great little sort of idea of how you can meet people and how you can connect with people and eliminate that fear of rejection, because you're obviously asking them stuff that they really are interested in.
Right. And if you're in a social gathering, if you ask people about themselves, their favorite subject, right? You're not going to be rejected, because I think it was Oscar Wilde who said, my favorite subject is talking about myself or some version thereof.
Yeah.
So you talk, ask questions about the other person. Oh, you'll never get rejected. They'll just keep going and going until the cows come home.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you also have, because there's a great correlation between a good night's sleep and mood enhancement, and even there's research that indicates when we don't sleep a full night, we tend to secrete more cortisol, which makes us gain weight. So what's your technique for a better night's sleep?
Yes, I think there's two things here. The first thing is you want to reduce the stimulation. And the second thing is work to clear the mind of worry. So in terms of stimulation, you shouldn't be watching TV within an hour of bed. Light levels should be reduced. The room you're in should be dark and quiet. To reduce worry,
computer is really big, because people use these devices and it turns on that part of your brain that is the antithesis of restfulness, right?
Exactly. And that's part of the stimulation.
Yeah.
And the other thing is to write out a to-do list, but before you kind of go through each item, you want to ask yourself, what is the maximum amount of time you have to complete this task, and what's the worst thing that could happen if it's not done? You see, you always have more time than you think. And so this is going to teach you that you have time, that you don't have to worry about it right then and there. And then the third thing, which I've spoken about before, is you want to practice mindfulness, which just clears the mind, settles you down, and even gratitude practice, another thing I talk about in Maximum Mental Health, which is so important. And it just kind of shapes the mind back towards what's positive in your life.
Mm-hmm. Gratitude. Have more gratitude, less attitude. Now, what do you say is the difference between instant and deep happiness? And how can we have both?
So instant happiness is all about pleasure. Deep happiness is about meaningful and authentic achievement. The secret is to balance both. Mm-hmm. So in terms of pleasures, it's about creating a list of things that you just love to do and then doing them. Dancing, reading, movies, shows, sex, baths, music, food, all that stuff. And then meaningful achievement is about finding the things you really care about and then committing to them and doing that. And that's family time, social pursuits, career objectives, artistic desires, all those sort of things.
Absolutely. So now, the topic of today's show, the 5 best strategies for overcoming depression and anxiety and becoming happy. Lay them on.
All right, here we go. Number 1, exercise, principle of movement. The more dynamic you are in every way, the better you feel. Number 2, calmness training, relaxation, mindfulness, even self-hypnosis. All these kind of things assist you in developing that calmness, having a good perspective in life. Number 3, gratitude training. So you can't be depressed or scared if you're feeling grateful. Number 4, connecting to positive people. We talked about meetups and that sort of thing as well. Number 5, finding a creative pursuit. Making sure that you have something in your life that you love to do that's creative, because a passive pleasure is nowhere near as important to your mental health as an active pleasure. It's better to write than to read, to play music than to listen to music, and so forth.
Very, very good. Now, I want to make sure everybody knows, because you have quite a few books.
Yeah.
The book that you're promoting now is so what you really want to make sure everybody can find, right?
Absolutely. MaximumMentalHealth.com. The book is Maximum Mental Health. I've got a special 24 hours only. If they get the book within 24 hours of listening to the show, I give them 3 additional video trainings, as well as all the free mindfulness and just the book itself. But I know that this show will be replayed, so I'm going to be a little bit nice. If people mention you, they send me an email, I'll still give them the bonuses, even if it's after that 24-hour period. So MaximumMentalHealth.com is where they should go and grab the book.
Okay. So, and everyone can find you, if people want to just check out your main website, it's Maximum Mental Health?
Yeah, that's the best place to go at the moment, MaximumMentalHealth.com. I do have another website, FulfillingHappiness.com, but you can get links to that via MaximumMentalHealth.com.
Right, and then people can find out what interviews you're doing and so on. So
exactly.
In the last 2 minutes, what would be your parting message to everybody listening? Or it's 1 minute.
I guess the most important message is happiness is definitely possible. And it doesn't matter where you are in terms of your life, where you are right now, you can always become happier. And out of those 5 things I mentioned, I think the most thing that I like to say is you're always happiest when you're doing something creative. So creation equals happiness, whether that's creating a wonderful conversation, whether that's creating something artistic, whether that's the act of love, which is creation equals happiness. So I want you to go out there and do something creative And part of that, hopefully, you'll find all that sort of stuff in the book. So that's my parting message.
That's wonderful. And you know what? I am very happy that I met you. I'm happy you came on my show. It's been wonderful getting to know you. You're very articulate. You speak so well. Your thoughts are very clear, and your points are very well spoken. I just really enjoyed you.
Thank you, Dr. Jamie. I enjoyed speaking to you as well.
All right. See you next week, and keep in touch with me. Let me know how you do. Next week on Ask Dr. Love, and I'm just going to say, don't worry. Be happy. Take care.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.